The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Discover a team that's always here to support you at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
Let's turn to some practical business now. With everything that's going on and the shock of COVID and all that to people's lives and their jobs and everything else, I think a lot of people have been assessing their financial situation. And Owen McGee, author of How to Be Good with Money, joins me now. Owen, how are you?
I'm good, yeah. Very good. Thanks, Brendan.
So, Owen, I suppose the key message that you want to give to people today is that if you're not assessing finances and paying attention, we should be, but that it's to be proactive about these things, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think the wake-up call really came for people in the last 12 months. And it's not just with their finances, but everything, like, you know, whether it's sourdough bread or whatever you got into during lockdown, one in particular, people really started to focus on things and saying, OK, how can I take advantage of this? And we can see that in the numbers, like people started to save more. Now, you might say they started to save more because they couldn't spend it anywhere. We were in lockdown. But just to put the numbers in perspective, on average, in an average month, households in Ireland will save 443 million euro. So that's people of Ireland will save 443 million. In April of last year, the first full month of lockdown, we saved 3,000 million. That's 3 billion euro. And what happened then, what I believe happened then was it had a knock-on effect where people started to say, actually, I've got a bit of money maybe for the first time, or I've cleared off some of my debt for the first time, some of my credit card stuff, and I'm starting to get ahead. And then people started to really have a focus on, I want to get better with money. I want to start looking at the short-term stuff, and I want to start looking at the longer-term stuff because I want to get some financial advantage out of this kind of head start I was given by this lockdown.
We just very consciously say that there are a lot of people who are not in that position and a lot of people who are not saving a lot more money. But there's certainly one half or one third of the population certainly has managed to do that.
So absolutely.
In terms,
what I would say, Brendan, on that is there are people who are really struggling financially. There's people there who've lost their job three times in the last 12 months and they've never lost a job before. And that's a really difficult place to be. But there are 2 million people in the country who are better off as a result of COVID. Because their income stayed the same and their expenses went through the floor. And those people do, I believe, have a responsibility to spend some of that money in the Irish economy to get the whole economy going again. So the people who are out of work can go back to work when they're able to, when there's a strong economy. So people who have got savings need to consider spending it only in Ireland as the economy opens back up again, so we all benefit from it.
Yeah, okay. So we've heard of vaccine nationalism, but there'll be a bit of spending nationalism now required in the recovery. So listen, in terms of then, people will have heard this stuff before, right? But you know what? In my experience, what you do is you go, oh yeah, I'll do that, but I'll push it away. It's a pain in the ass. You do need to go at it proactively, as we say. So I suppose ultimately, look, life is a T account. There's money in, money out. Probably easier to change the money out side of things. So maybe if we focus a bit first on how we can pay less for all those things that just go out of our account all the time, we don't think too much about them. And I know people go, oh, switching is such a pain in the ass. But tell us a bit about switching and what we should be doing.
Well, just the simple day-to-day stuff. Like, there are things like your bank account that you just shouldn't be paying fees on. Like, there are bank accounts out there that you can pay once you're putting more than, you're putting your wages typically into them on a month-to-month basis. Some of them would have, you have to keep a minimum balance in them. Have a look at this. There's a website, ccpc.ie, the Consumer Protection Commission, Competition and Consumer Protection Commission. They're a government agency. They have a brilliant comparison tool where you can look at all the different bank accounts that are available. But that's kind of the simple one. You shouldn't be paying bank fees. You shouldn't be paying for things like...
Because people are... I think more people are paying bank fees and paying more bank fees than ever before now with recent changes, aren't they?
Absolutely, because the banks are really getting squeezed and their interest rates are low and it's costing them money to leave money with other banks and they're trying to make money wherever they can. And fees have been introduced in accounts that people have never had to pay fees on before. So, and we can't give out about that stuff and then just sit there and do nothing about it.
But is it very, very hard to change your bank account?
Absolutely not. In fact, there was some push by regulation about 10 more years ago where now what happens is you walk into your new bank, you're contacting your new bank, you fill out a form and they contact your old bank for you and they transfer all your direct debits over and they communicate with each other and there's an agreement over, you pick a date, it gets done, it's all automated and they do actually work very closely with each other because for every client they're robbing off the other bank, the other bank is robbing one back. So if we had this moving around much more, it would work very well. The only one that kind kind of gets caught out in that is your salary going into it. You need to inform your salary people yourself, but all your direct debits can be transferred over automatically.
That's good, yeah, because I think that would be people's worry, like they've built up such a network of direct debits. Now, speaking of the direct debits, so look, it's probably no harm to remind people, we all know you should change your electricity or your power bill, what, once a year?
Once a year, or if you sometimes you sign up to a 2-year contract, some of them would be out there to make it more attractive to you. Like, we have to remember, right, these companies are standing there and they're lovely and shiny and they're saying, come over here, we're cheaper. They're doing it, they're giving you a discount in year one because they know the inertia kicks in and people just don't bother moving after tier two onwards, and they go up to the standard rates. It's very easy to do it. CRU.ie is the regulator. You can go in there, they have a list of the different sites. There's a 3 or 4 sites that you can jump onto to switch between the providers. They handle it all for you. The biggest hassle you have with this is taking your bill, ideally your gas and your electricity if you've got both, taking them, sitting down next to the laptop and going onto one of these websites. You will get it all done before you stand up again in about 10 minutes, and you usually save around €350. And that's the really simple stuff to do. Like, the way I'd look, €350, that's like a Chinese once a month or a takeaway once a month for free, if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah, it's free money, essentially. And you have a good suggestion here, which is actually send it an alarm on your phone for when your bill is coming up for renewal.
Yeah, so what I would say is one of the things that often happens, you get the renewal in, you go, I put that away and put it aside. This year, when you get the renewal in, if you've kind of left it too late, make sure you put a renewal on your phone. Just take out your phone and say it's 1st of September that it's due for renewal. Put a thing in for 1st of August next year. I must check out that. Where am I going? What am I doing? And particularly things like health insurance, your bills. And as they come around, some people love doing this where they sit down for a whole Saturday and they stick on you on the radio and they work through all the documents. That's terrible boring to me. But some people it works for. I think you're better off doing tiny little chunks on a regular basis. Just getting them done as they fall due.
And listen, health insurance is another one, like where you talk about inertia, like, but let's face it, nobody fancies getting involved in trying to compare health insurance policies, and like there seems to be permutations and combinations and whatever.
Yeah, and that's why we need people like Dermot Good with an encyclopedic knowledge of how these things work. And there are thousands of them. And it's a bit like with the mortgages, and we'll talk about mortgages in a second. It's a bit like the mortgages. You can actually get things much cheaper with your own provider if you know the right questions and the right buttons to press when you ring them up and say, like, I'm absolutely robbing this from Dermot. It's his wording. Ring them up and say, could I get the exact same policy for cheaper with you guys? And that's when you start to squeeze them a little bit. And it's the same with mortgages. Like, mortgages are incredible. There's 100,000 people in Ireland could get a cheaper rate from their own provider if they just rang them. Now, the regulation has changed. And up, it was the start of last year. Your bank is required to write to you at certain points in the mortgage to tell you if they have a cheaper rate available to you. They're not required to write to you and tell you that the bank across the road would be cheaper for you to move your mortgage to, but they are required to tell you there. One of the things the banks kind of hide behind is, a lot of the time it's to do with what we call the loan to value. So if there's €60,000 on the loan and the house is worth €100,000, that's a 60% loan to value. And if you're on a less than 60% rate, there's a cheaper rate for that. But if you don't tell the bank that my house price has changed in the last 5 years, they don't have to write to you and tell you they've got a cheaper rate for you.
Okay.
So you need to be a bit proactive. And to put this in perspective, right, for every €100,000 you have in a mortgage, if it was at 3%, it would cost you around €555 a month. At 2%, it would cost you €505. You'd be saving €50 a month. That's €12,000 on a 20-year mortgage for every €100,000 you have. So you have a €200,000 mortgage, and Brendan, you could buy premium tickets in Croke Park for free for 10 years. Two of them.
Again,
if you just switch your mortgage.
Again, Owen, though, I'd say people think, oh my God, the idea of switching my mortgage, do I have to get a solicitor involved? And, you know, is there all kinds of form filling out and all kinds of stuff?
Yeah there is. And it's to be honest with you, like, if you look at the situation here, is very archaic. We have to get legals, we have to get valuations. I guess I understand that you have to go through the whole process again. Like, if you look at places like Italy, they have decided, okay, we all have the same central bank rules. If the other bank approved it, that means we can approve it. So there's different approval process and the legal process. You can typically do it in kind of 6-7 days in Italy. You're not doing it in 6 or 7 weeks usually here, but it is worth it. And the bigger savings are always worth it. It's just they take a little bit more time and a little bit more effort. But we're talking about €12,000 for every €100,000 on your loans. And again, our mortgages are 1.5% more expensive here than if you were a borrower in Germany or France, in mainland Europe. 1.5%, the main reason for that is yeah, the banks have lots of reasons why they'll justify it. But if we were moving all the time, the cheapest rate would always be winning. And people would be just moving with their feet. They'd be voting with their feet and going to the cheapest rate. And that would be the biggest pressure to put on banks to actually reduce their rates down in line with where, or get closer at least to where they are in Europe.
Yeah, okay. So we need to be the ones to make it more competitive. There's a few people now texting in about saying that they tried to, the switching of bank accounts does not go as smoothly as the bank claims. And two people saying ended up manually switching the direct debits and everything. One question here to do with all banks charge fees now. Can Owen tell us one that doesn't? Jerry asks.
Jerry, you know what? And Brendan, this is a real pet hate of mine. I just hate giving the banks a plug. Like, yeah. I really don't like to mention okay. a particular bank. Okay. And I'm just not good. I tell you what, if they start paying me, I might, but nobody's paying me. So I'm not telling anyone anything. Go to ccpc.ie. It's a government agency.
ccpc.ie. Okay.
Yeah, and it's all there. They compare all of them.
Okay. And another question, you might not want to answer this either, but a person saying, well, what do you think then about online places like Revolut and N26?
Yeah, let's talk about fintechs in general. I think that the fintechs are really giving the Irish banks a run for their money. Like, they have millions of customers at this stage. They have so much functionality. They're starting to tell us things about our money. They're very intuitive. They make life very easy for me to hand you money sitting at a, well, if we ever get to sit across a table, a restaurant together. Like, again, I mean, in general. But, like, they've just really shook it up, and we really need to encourage companies like that here, because we're a small economy. We're not really attractive to the big players, except when you're doing the likes of the fintech banks. I'm a big supporter of them. They're not usually used for, particularly anyone over the age of 30 tends not to use them as their main bank account. They tend to use that as a secondary bank account. Yeah. But the functionality is superb. Like, and they really have got it.
The main banks were coming up with an app, weren't they? But did that kind of fall flat then?
Yeah, it fell. Now, sorry, it was actually CCPC, who the competition, the same company, the same government agency reviewed that, and it went back to them to say not enough information. It wasn't that it fell flat. They were trying to get it through on a competition okay. basis, and I'm not sure where, but the last I heard, they were looking for more information from the banks, and it didn't go anywhere at the time.
Okay, but Revolut and N26 anyway, no health warning on them. You think they're not a bad idea if they sue people?
One of the things, the government guarantee does apply to N26. It doesn't to Revolut. It's regulated in a slightly different way. And just given that I've now mentioned two of them, OnPost Money would be quite strong on this. In this, they came out with a similar one, which is an Irish bred one. They have a similar type setup, fintech type bank as well. So given that we've mentioned the two of them, we might as well mention the other one, who's a big player as well.
All right. Listen, another kind of no-brainer thing, and it does work really well when you do it, and then you talk to people and you realize a lot of them aren't doing it, but claiming stuff back, for example, uploading those receipts, if you have health insurance, uploading receipts to them, like, you know, whether they covered or not, just upload them all and you might get a few quid back here and there.
Yeah, so one of the things, like, I would use it is there's these apps on your phone, so your health insurance app. You walk out at the GP's, you snap your receipt for 60 euros or whatever it is, and typically then, depending on your health insurance, you might get 20 euros back for every GP visit. And you snap these things, you send them off, and a couple of days later, the money just lands into your bank account once you're over your excess. So you'll usually have to cover the first 250 euros or whatever your own excess is on your own policy. But the nice thing about this, and some of the health insurance companies do it and some of them don't, but they can give you a summary at the end of the year. And when you get that summary of all the medical expenses that you've had throughout the year, revenue will accept that, you know what, the health insurance paid out on it, and they checked the balances and they checked to make sure the receipt was okay. We're good enough to take proof from the health insurers that it was right. And you just then, you have a summary of all your medical expenses to put through on your tax return. People who are PAYE workers, so if you have a boss who gives you a payslip once a month and puts money into your bank account, your taxes are looked after when you get paid. And those people tend not to do a tax return. Self-employed people do a tax return because they have to. But PAYE workers tend not to. And if they did, and they started claiming all the stuff that's available to them, there is lots of publicity out there from these companies who will do these returns for you. And they say that their average tax return or tax refund is around, depending on who you listen to, somewhere between 800 and 1200 euros is the average refund, their tax refund they're getting people when they're putting these things through. We can't give out about paying too much tax. and then not claim the legitimate tax back that we are out. We're allowed to have certain expenses, like medical expenses. People like you, revenue on you as a journalist, Brendan, to look well, so they'll give you flat rate expenses for being a journalist. Or if you're a nurse, there's some flat rate expenses there, depending on whether you get provided with a uniform. So there's a whole pile of different expenses that are there.
Free money available, essentially. Now, listen, Owen, the other thing that we were going to talk about, and we won't do it today now, is pensions, wills, all the bigger picture kind of long-term stuff. But I know you're very hot on that. We should all be paying attention to that. So maybe will you come back in a couple of weeks and we'll do that.
I'm sure now you've mentioned the word pensions, your listeners will be dying to hear us.
Okay, yeah, but we will. We'll come back to you soon. Owen McGee, thanks a million. Let's take a break.
Text 51551. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.